You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. Hello everyone and welcome back to another instalment of Ravens Weekly. That's right, we're back again. We're not going away this time. My name is Matt Hall and I'm joined by Josh Tindall, the man who joins me on these podcasts nowadays. Josh, how are you?
Very well.
Excited with the weekend ahead?
I am indeed, yeah.
We're going to get onto that more in a minute. Let's not talk too much about the playoffs just yet. Let's start this podcast then by talking about the visit to Oldham. Now, you and I, Josh, had a particularly interesting journey up there in which we were 5 minutes late for the match.
Yeah, it was a weird one, wasn't it? I left at 7 a.m. and I think we got there for, I think it was like 29 minutes past five. And then, yeah, we legged it into the ground, missed first couple of minutes. But yeah, it was a weird one.
It was a really weird one. It brings back memories of being late for Wrexham last year when we were actually quite a lot later and we missed a sending off of Liam Trotter. And we had to ask the Wrexham fans around us if they thought it was a sending off or not. And they had differing opinions on that one. And we had to ask the Wrexham fans around us for their opinions on that one. And it was split, really. Most of them said it wasn't a sending off. A few were adamant that it was. But that was myself and Dan Bentley that day. Josh, you didn't even make it.
No, I got to crew and I got stranded. I decided to take the train, which was, you know, looking back on it, a big regret. I passed Wolverhampton. I thought, you know what? The snow's not going to stop me. So carried on, got to crew and they went, nah. No trains to Chester. I was like, right, that's fine. I will find another way. So I didn't find another way and it was getting closer and closer to kick off. So I thought, you know what, is it worth it? It turned out it wasn't worth it because we lost. But
no, we lost and it wasn't the best game. No. However, you did do the Twitter updates from Crew Station based on our commentary, which
I
was
did, yeah.
25 minutes late.
Which obviously those listening to the commentary will know that I had to endure that suffering. Instead of actually watching the game, I had to endure Matt's voice for 90 minutes.
I'm sorry about that. What you mean is you had to endure Dan's voice.
True,
And, you know, the little bits in between that were me were all right. I'm only joking.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry you had to go through that, Josh, and hopefully you won't have to be in that position again and we won't have to put you through that. In all seriousness, though, Oldham away, we did turn up a little bit late, but the team definitely turned up on the day. I think it was a surprise to a few people, and actually a few people were a little bit unsettled by the team selection. Because they thought, Josh, that it might have meant a few of these key players were injured. And, you know, Andy's post-match interview raised a few concerns over injuries as well. But actually, the players that came in did a really good job and gave him a bit of a headache.
Yeah, really good. I think the substitutions that came on, obviously Cameron Green, his first game for Bromley, I thought he was really good, to be fair, considering the lack of game time he's had. And also Mitchell Bergkamp as well. I know he's been out and I see a lot of people going, oh, where's Mitchell? Where's Mitchell? But I think he's had his own injury issue since coming here. So we're just gradually keeping him fit. And obviously he was on the bench on Wednesday, but I thought those two were really good.
They were fantastic. I completely agree. Ben Crowhouse putting in a good shift as well.
As always.
Still an academy scholar and yeah, really, really impressed with them. Absolutely fantastic. So in the end, it was a 1-1 draw and just a couple of highlights to pick from that game. Well, actually, a few more than that. 1-1, James Vennings with a brilliant goal. But before we get to that, Reece Charles-Cook, I saw you trying to put into words on Twitter some of the saves that he made. And I think you just settled at that is outrageous or outstanding or something. But three world-class saves. And I don't think it's an exaggeration to say world-class saves.
I mean, it's a weird one because I think for any club, you go through, you know, your set of goalkeepers and there's some that don't really, you know, live up to expectation. But I think the past couple of years, having Mark Cousins, Ellery, Tom Smith and Cookie, like, they've just been incredible, each of them. And I know, like, when the loan finishes or when they decide to leave or the contract expires, there's always that little bit of panic. And I know there was in the summer when Cousins left, but we always seem to get, well, under Andy Woodman, we always seem to get the right replacements in. And Cookie was obviously really good when he was here before, and Ellery was good when Cookie left. But yeah, ever since he's come back in, obviously he was out injured, obviously had that suspension as well, but he's been really good. And then Oldham, some of the saves he was making again.
What was your favourite? Mine was the last one. The one from, I think it was Shelton, who took the shot in the end, and he kind of clawed it from behind him. It was at 1-1 as well, so the scores had just been levelled through James Vennings, and we'll get onto that in a minute. That's my pick. What's yours?
That was it. Yeah, I agree. It was a certain goal, and I can't believe
the ball was behind him. It defies physics in some senses. It's incredible. Brilliant, and he's just come on leaps and bounds, I think, since he's arrived here, and he's a very, very good goalkeeper. He's played plenty of football in League One and League Two.
Oh, yeah.
He's an international player.
But that doesn't mean, like, obviously people look at that and go, well, it's no surprise that he's doing well in the National League, but most of the time it doesn't work out that way. You drop down to the National League, you sort of think, well, I'll see out the next few years, but he's a player that should be playing in the Football League.
Well, we'll see. We will see. But fantastic from Charles Cook. And well done to him. Absolutely outstanding display. And James Vennings, Josh, disappointed not to see him involved on Tuesday, but he had a great performance on Saturday and capped it off with a really well-taken goal, his first of the season. And that goal was an important one in the grand scheme of things in terms of our record points total.
Yeah, I think he's been after that. I think before that, he took a couple of shots at goal, didn't he, from similar angle. I think one deflected wide or whatever. But yeah, he finally got his goal, and I'm pleased we managed to use his goal gif as well, because I think that's the best one we've got.
It's a cracker. For those that haven't seen it, just scroll through Twitter to the 29th of April and you'll find it. Absolute cracker. But aside from that, you know, a couple of other highlights. Great atmosphere at Oldham. Just under 200 away supporters, two sold-out supporters, coaches. It was brilliant to be a part of it. And it was kind of almost a carnival atmosphere from the Oldham fans, who obviously had a disappointing season prior to that. David Unsworth came in and his first game was a 3-0 defeat to Bromley here in September. And he's really taken them up the table. The atmosphere, Josh, and the crowd and the level of the stadium, it felt brilliant to be part of it.
Yeah, fair play to Oldham, to be fair, because it's like, You get relegated from League Two and you sort of expected to jump straight back up, and they haven't. And yeah, it's not been a great season for them, but the way the fans were, the staff were, the players at full time, it sounded like they were finishing in the playoffs as well. Like, there was such a happy atmosphere around it that was quite surprising considering where they've come from. And yeah.
It was brilliant to be a part of it, and there was a great atmosphere on the supporters, coaches as well, and it was great to be part of that too, albeit the journey up there a bit of a nightmare. The journey back was a lot smoother. And one final thing I wanted to touch on, which you put on social media, Josh, and it's been quite nice actually to see the response to it, particularly from the Oldham fans. Peter Clark, the Oldham defender, 41 years of age, coming on at the end of the game and playing as a striker. Really wanted that goal, didn't he? Yeah. He is a club legend at Oldham and is retiring, not surprisingly, at the age of 41 from his playing days. I have to say, he didn't look that age, and he was quick, and yeah, I was very impressed. But he is retiring, and it was lovely to see the gaffer, Andy Woodman, standing in the tunnel post-match and waiting for him to come in and giving him a round of applause with the rest of the crowd there. It was a lovely touch.
Yeah, well, I think when you make a long journey like that, I think you want to get in, speak to the players, go home. But we walked down there to do the post-match interview, and Andy was just leant on the wall, and I was like, it's a bit weird. Like, what's he doing? And then he was out getting his, I think they were doing a little bit of a guard of honour, and Andy was just stood there clapping him and, you know, taking it in as well, which is classy from him and probably sums him up, to be fair. But once he came into the tunnel and met with his family, and he stayed there and he was shaking hands with every single player and member of staff that came off as well. And yeah, I think that probably sums him up, to be fair, because he's that is his character. And yeah, it was good to see, considering, like, you would have thought, we know where we finish in the league. We know we've got to, you know, recover as quick as possible for Wednesday. And yeah, no rush to get home. He wanted to show his respects to the opposition, and yeah, fair play.
Absolutely. He's a classy guy. And yeah, well done to him. And happy retirement to Peter Clark. And yeah, nice atmosphere to be a part of. And well done to the Oldham fans for helping to create that as well. Sorry. Moving on to Sunday, and we're going to catch up on a bit of an event that we were present at and were involved with. That's going to come up on Community Corner. But let's talk about the Bromley women, who had an 8-0 victory. 8-0. You know, on the video printers, when it's 7 or more, they have to put not just the number, but the actual word, 7 or 8. So it would have had that had it been on the video printer. 8-0 against Maidstone United, local rivals. Charlotte Lee scored 4 times.
Yeah.
And for those that were present at the awards evening, this was why a trophy wasn't handed out eventually to the women's team. They made that decision. They didn't want it going to anyone yet. We were going to give it to all three of them. But this is why it wasn't given to the out-and-out top scorer, because Charlotte Lee is now top goal scorer, Josh.
Yeah, and I think she was third in the top three, wasn't she?
She was.
Obviously, looking at it, she would have been least likely to receive the award on the night. So, yeah, it's a good thing that they didn't want to dish that out, because, yeah, scored 4 goals and they were 6-0 up at half time. I wasn't at the game personally, but Luca, who was our camera operator, he was there filming the game for the goal so he can post them out. And I said, "Oh, keep me updated so I can do the updates as well." And he messaged me and he was like, "Oh, it's half time, we're winning 6-0. And I was like, "Oh, well."
Incredible. That is unbelievable. And well done to the Bromley women. It was fantastic to recognise their achievements at the awards evening as well. And what a great season they've had. I know they're quite
again.
They're not. I wouldn't say they're downbeat, but they're kind of, oh, we could have had a better season, you know. But to be promoted and do as well as they've done is an achievement in itself. Exactly. And
back to back promotions as well.
Yeah.
So and then to be in a new league and they can still finish 4th. They've got one more game. They've got Eastbourne away on Sunday, and one of the coaches messaged me in the week and said we can still finish 4th. So
excuse me,
Matt's just
that's the hay fever, everyone.
It is.
Those that
hay
know,
hay fever.
Those that know,
and those that don't know. Exactly.
That's all I'm saying. But yeah, anyway, Charlotte Lee, currently top scorer, but as you say, there's another game to play. She could still have that crown, or boot, if you prefer, taken away from her. So best of luck to the team on Sunday. And it was great to see such an emphatic win against local rivals. Now it's time to test Josh's reactions. It's Community Corner. There we go. Not bad. Could do better.
But we've got an update on our little soundboard, haven't we?
Have we? Oh, yes, we have. Yes. This is what...
You keep asking for it.
I've been crying out for weeks now. What have we got? Go on, give us a taste. Thank you. Very nice.
I think there's one more.
There's got to be one more. I think I know what it is. Tech is sometimes your friend and sometimes not. There we go. Brilliant. Josh, it's like Christmas has come early.
Exactly. I think the laugh one is, to give you that little confidence boost when you crack out
a
joke.
Definitely. And I think I need that. Yeah. You know, I need to feel loved and I need to feel appreciated. But thank you, Josh. That Christmas really has come early. I can't tell you how much that means to me. And don't lie, you're going to be using them as well. So
I will, yeah.
Definitely.
We need a boo one.
Yeah, we do, actually. Yeah. I think some of the listeners might be pressing that right now, to be honest, true. If they've got one. But anyway, Community Corner, well, I'm going to start off on backtracking to last Sunday, the 30th of April. Some of you will know that we were present at the Bromley High Street Fest. I'm going to talk a bit more about that in a second, but I have to give a big shout out to Matt, not myself.
You can't give yourself a shout out. I keep saying, every time we go through the running order, Matt, you're always like, I've got to give myself a bit of a shout out. This is why we need the boo button.
It is, I think.
You can't keep giving yourself a shout out.
I can't help it.
Can't do it.
In all seriousness, I need to give a shout out to Matt, who met us at the High Street Fest. And he came along and he said, you're one of the guys that does the podcast, aren't you? And I said, yes. And Matt was saying how much he enjoyed listening to us. And I couldn't believe it, of course, that he said that about you and me, Josh. But welcome to Ravens Weekly once again, Matt. And thank you so much for your support and positivity. It was much appreciated. Aside from that, we saw lots of familiar faces, lots of Bromley fans coming down. We even had a very brief visit from Harry Forster.
Wow.
And his other half, which was lovely to see. I missed it, though, because I was doing a run back to the car to bring some more equipment.
You were too busy getting ready for your shout-out.
I was too busy, planning my next shout-out, but it didn't really come off, did it, anyway? But in all seriousness, huge thank you to Alicia and the team at Bromley Council for inviting us to be part of this High Street Fest. We did two, on the 26th of March and the 30th of April. And we brought a stall down, we had some merchandise available, but that really wasn't what it was all about. We had an inflatable to engage with the children and they could have a go shooting at the targets with the footballs and things like that. It was great fun. The adults got involved as well, and we were able to give away prizes at this one too. So, yeah, it was really, really enjoyable experience. We met lots of colleagues from different organisations in Bromley and players in the community areas of Bromley. And it was great to see everyone. It was great to be part of it. People coming along, talking to us about the soccer schools and even about memberships, about the playoffs. We had all kinds of conversations. And it's just great, when you meet someone that doesn't know Bromley Football Club are here and what we offer. And you meet them and you tell them what we do and you tell them that we're here.
And your community player of the year was also present.
Our women's community player of the year was there, Sophie Peru. And I have to give a huge shout out to Sophie. She is a fantastic person and a fantastic character to have around this club. And she's a real asset. And she came down on Sunday afternoon, despite having to play at 3 o'clock that day. She left us about 1:15, got back to Bromley for 1:30, which is when the players arrived, 90 minutes before. But she came on stage with us and talked to the crowd. She engaged with the children and the people passing by. It was absolutely fantastic to have Sophie there. And like I say, she's a credit to the women's team and Bromley Football Club.
She's such a character as well, isn't she? I've done a couple of school visits with her and she's,
I tell you what, brainwave right here. She's got to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
She's got to come on the podcast.
That is a shout, yeah.
I'm seeing her. She's coming to an exciting community event that we've got lined up next week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask her then if she'll come on the podcast.
We need to, because as we all know, football finishes next week, so...
Oh, no, Josh, what are we going to do? You and me can't sit here and talk about nothing. We'll lose all our listeners.
All two of them.
Yeah, all two of them. Nah, we got more than that. Maybe 5-6 at a push.
Maybe.
But
I
mean,
I see the actual figures, so...
Whether it's one, or whether it's 100 or 1,000, our target and our quality has to remain... Well, quality is probably an overuse of the word, but we have to remain focused. Yeah. We have to deliver this podcast as it's meant to be delivered, and I have no idea how that is.
No, but we've got buttons with sounds now.
We've got buttons. So what we could do is we could just play Guess the Sound or something between us, and, hopefully people might want to listen to that.
Do you know what? We should do it. But obviously, we don't have a live audience, but we should do like a little, guess the song or something.
Yeah.
Play it through the soundboard.
Little taster for the quiz night.
Yeah. And then people who are listening, if, you've got absolutely nothing better to do on a Friday, just get a pen and paper, jot down the music, email us, email Matt. He doesn't get any emails.
No, my inbox is completely empty.
So he'll appreciate it. And
sometimes so much so that I email myself just to make myself feel special. This is the point we're getting to, ladies and gents. This is how far downhill we've gone this afternoon.
Matt just goes to Matt,
Hi.
You did really well on the commentary on Saturday.
I know, I just start off with a hi, you know, to engage in that conversation first. And then I start to give myself a shout out. You know, it's nice to have a shout out every now and then, even if it's a negative one, you know. But anyway, moving on, Community Corner. We do have our half-term summer soccer camp coming up at the end of this month. So if you've got a child aged 4 and above, they can come and join us at the Hayes Lane Stadium. It's £25 a day. You can book at bromleyfc.org, and it's a great lot of fun. So, yeah, come along and join us for sure.
It is good.
It's well worth it, and we do get visits from the players as well, which is really, really nice.
When is it?
It is Tuesday the 30th of May until Friday the 2nd of June. Now, that is because there is a bank holiday on the 29th of May. So, unfortunately, we're not running for the usual 5 days, but we are here for the 4 days.
Boom. See, I told you. Told you, we need the boo button. That would have been perfect.
It would have been. Well, there we go. There's another task for you, Josh.
There we go.
But anyway, now we come on to the man, the
Stop
myth,
it.
The legend.
It can't be.
It's Roy Oliver, and it's Roy Remembers. It's our favourite part of the podcast, and I'm sure it's the favourite of many other people listening in at home. It can only be Roy Remembers. Roy, we're going to talk to you a little bit about what you've got in store for us today in terms of your history corner, if you like, in a minute. Yeah. But Roy Remembers last night, away at Woking, in the Vanarama National League playoff eliminator. How was it for you?
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, I think we were a better team from the first whistle right up to the last whistle. They scored against the run of play, but I always felt that we could get an equaliser and then we would go on to win it. And that was so the case. I think our game plan was perfect. And we really stopped them in their tracks. I mean, they scored against the run of play. And they didn't really do much else after that. You know, I think Cookie probably pulled off a couple of other saves, but not much more than that. But a sensational night, brilliant crowd. I think it was nearly just under 1,000 there at Bromley. So that was brilliant.
Is that up there with the best away followings you've experienced with Bromley? I remember us taking over 1,000 to Leighton Orient a few years back in the FA Cup. And of course, we've had Wembley and Gillingham in 2006 and a few others. But that was up there, surely.
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, the outstanding one will always be the Wembley one from this year when we won the trophy. That was magic, absolutely magic. We never dreamed about that. But, yeah, the following was brilliant. And it shows that when a team's playing well, they come out in their droves to watch the team.
Well, it was fantastic, wasn't it? And you've been supporting Bromley for a long, long time now. Yeah. And technically speaking, this is a new high for you as a supporter, because in league terms, cups aside and trophies aside, in league terms, this is the highest you've seen Bromley now progress, you know, in terms of league position and into the playoff period now with the semi-finals around the corner.
Yes, I mean, when we got there before, we played Hartlepool away. And we didn't start the game very well at all. And we came back into it later on. We sort of lost it in the first bit of the game. But, we've got our record points score in the Vanarama League. Got to the semi-finals now in the playoffs. So we are reaching new heights all the time.
Well, it's brilliant to see how much you enjoyed it, Roy. I saw you out there on the terrace last night from the press box. It was brilliant to see everyone enjoying themselves. Really good performance and a really good result. What have you got in store for us in Roy Remembers today?
I just want to go back on last week about talking about George Brown, because I talked about his representative honours, but he won 2 amateur cup medals for Bromley. He won the Kent Senior, the London Senior Cup, the Athenian League Championship, and the Isthmian League champion, and the Southland Cup, and top goal scorer every year. And when he passed away, they found these letters from a lot of top clubs. Liverpool twice after him, West Ham, and a lot of other teams were after his scalp to come and play for them. So, but today's one is going to be about the Kent Junior Cup from 1894.
Oh, 2 years after our formation.
Yes.
Floor's yours, Roy.
Right. So this game was from 17th of March 1894, and the event took place in Faversham, where they overcame Folkestone Harveyans by 2-1. The train had to be chartered for team and supporters by Bromley, who had to guarantee a minimum of 250 passengers for the railway company to run. As it transpired, just over 500 chose to travel, paying a bargain fare of 2 and 6 pence for the return fare to Folkestone. At Faversham. And after again going backwards and forwards, and then we had the three brothers in the team called the Gedney brothers, who was Bert Gedney, EJ Gedney and Frank Gedney, who played for Bromley for many years. But after the game, they came back to Bromley. They was pulled round the town in a wagonette and then they went for a reception where they got completely drunk because the cup was refilled and refilled and refilled, and they kept just emptying it, having a good time. But it was presented to Mr. R.G. Mullen, who was the president of the Bromley Football Club, by the mayor of Folkestone down there. But you just imagine, 2 and 6 pence to go by train down to Faversham and back.
That's cracking value.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
What I will say is they knew how to have fun in the 1890s, didn't they?
Oh, definitely. Yes, yeah. So it's fascinating reading these reports and all that.
It's fascinating hearing from you, Roy, and everything that you've experienced, and actually the amount of time you've invested into learning about the club even before you came along and started watching.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the present history, but I was always particularly interested in how the club were formed, how they started. You know, several times they almost went out of business because they didn't have the money, and they had to rely on people's generosity, putting in the bucket sort of thing, and putting a subscription in and all that. So it's been through a lot of hard time. We've almost got a business on quite a few occasions over our history. Having bad seasons where people are not coming to the games. Slipping down the years. So, you know, the club's gone through some pretty traumatic days in the past.
I just got to say that, Roy, you're always one who says, people need to appreciate how good it is now and how good they've got it, because you've seen Bromley in a lot of good times, but equally a lot of really, really difficult times.
Oh, yes. I mean, from sort of late 40s up to 60, 61, Bromley were out of top three only three times. I mean, there's so many amateur internationals playing for Bromley. Some went on to other clubs, like Stan Charlton. He played for Bromley, he played for Lake Norrin, and then he went on to Arsenal. So all these top clubs were headhunting the top amateur teams in them days for good players.
Wow, it's incredible to hear, and it's incredible to actually appreciate now, and you've seen both, how it's changed over the years and how the game's developed.
Yeah, I mean, I keep saying to people, if you said 20 years ago, Bromley would have a Glyn Beverley stand and a Broomfields and everything else, a Fenu, it's brilliant. I mean, a great credit must go to our first chairman, Jerry Dalk, because he got the ball rolling. And now our new chairman, Robin, has now carried on the baton even further, and we're still not finished yet. The things that have got to be done down here will gradually be done. You know, some supporters say, why is this not...
Roy, your headphones are on a journey south there.
I got disengaged there.
Sorry, you were in a passionate speech about where the club's going.
Yeah, as I say, if you said this 20 years ago, you'd probably been locked up. So don't dream idiotic dreams, but it's now all reality what's coming together. And the club is just going from strength to strength, and that's all created by a good manager, a brilliant chairman, and a previous successful chairman under that. because I always keep saying back to Jerry, without his input, I don't think we would be here where we are now. He built it up to a stage where then Robin came in and has gone even further with the project. And the team is getting better and better.
It is getting better and better, isn't it? And I think that reflects in the past 3 years, you know, two playoff finishes, now a playoff semi-final at least, and an FA Trophy victory. Yeah. If you looked back, Roy, would you ever have seen in your days of supporting Bromley 20 years ago and beyond that, would you ever have seen any of this coming?
No, no, definitely not. Especially, say, from late 40s right up to 60, 61, we were never at the top three only three times, I believe. But from 65, the club took a downward step and kept floodlight cups days down here on a Tuesday night. Sometimes you might see 38 supporters on the terraces. And,
wow.
And from the next 10 years, we were in the round bottom, second to bottom in the league every year until the mid-70s when John Biddle came along and brought that team from Cray Wanderers, which was quite amazing that he brought a whole team from Cray Wanderers and they played really expensive football. Entertaining.
Wow. There isn't anything that Roy doesn't know about Bromley FC. And it's such a pleasure and a privilege to be able to sit here and absorb all of it. And I'm sure all of you at home are really loving this segment. We've had some great feedback so far. Roy, you're being pulled on the terraces, saying how much people are enjoying it as well.
Yeah.
You've got fans. You've always had fans, but you've got even more fans now.
I know. It's nice when people... And this guy came up to me last night and he did say he used to support Bromley years ago, but I couldn't remember him. And he wrote a bit in the programme. His name was Mark Andrews. And he knows things what I don't even know. And
surely there's things, nothing.
And I told him things that he didn't know. So he's coming down to the Ravens chat next Thursday and we'll have a good conversation.
Brilliant. Roy, thank you so much for another Roy Remembers. It's always such a pleasure.
Yeah.
Just before you go, are you looking forward, stupid question, are you looking forward to Sunday at Chesterfield?
Most definitely, yes. I think we're going up there. We are definitely the underdogs. They're expected to win. But as we know in football, favourites don't always win. Two counter ones. We played Brackley in the trophy in 2018. We were favourites. We lost. In 2022, we were the underdogs. Wrexham were favourites and we won. So it's not always the favourites. So we've got nothing to lose. And I like playing away in these because they're 90 minutes and extra time. Hopefully not penalties. I dislike penalties.
Oh, you and me both.
Passion. You know, because it's just a lottery at the end of the day. Too many cups have been won by the worst team because they played for penalties.
It's a horrible way to lose a game.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't like it at all. Nerve wracking. But we're going there full of confidence. We're on a good run at the moment. And they won't be taking us lightly. And their crowd will get on their back if they're not doing the right things. And when your crowd get on your back, then they start making mistakes. So they start getting a bit edgy.
Well, Roy, it's really exciting. You're going to be on the supporters coach. There are still spaces on the supporters coaches. We're running two of them. Book your space up. £30 return. It's great value for money. And of course, get your match tickets before they go as well. Sure to be an entertaining day. Roy, look forward to seeing you there. Thanks again.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Josh.
Moving on then. And something which we said the P word, the playoffs, earlier on, and of course we had our first playoff game on Wednesday. We're recording this on Friday, so it's still quite fresh in the memory for the players and fans and us, and we beat Woking 2-1. I think that deserves a... Do you know what? It feels very powerful to be able to create that on demand.
It does.
I like that. I like that, Josh. I like it a lot. But anyway, it was a funny game, really, wasn't it? And we'll talk about the support and all of that in a minute. But I thought, Josh, and I don't think I'm unfair in saying, we said it on the commentary, Bromley were in control from minute one.
Yeah, we were the better side. Woking just didn't look like the same team that we played this season, to be fair. They were, I don't know if they were missing, is it Reece Brown was out injured, wasn't he? So Yeah, that was I think that was a big miss for them, but they've still got enough in their squad to, you know, cause problems, and they didn't. And we, you know, took advantage of that even in the early stages. I think we had two or three chances before they scored on the 12th minute. So, yeah.
And like you say, they opened the scoring fairly early on inside that first 15 minutes. It was quite a strike from Rowan Innes, to be fair to him, but it's pretty much the only chance they had the whole game. Cookie pulled off a good save from Padraig Amond in the second half. However, I think it might have been going wide anyway. But Cookie made it look good for the BT cameras, didn't he?
Oh, that's harsh.
Is it?
Yeah, that's harsh.
Oh, it's not what you were saying in the press box on Wednesday.
Oh, me? That was done.
I dropped you right in there. Now, I'll take the flak for that one if it was, but we were quite behind it. I thought it was going wide. But to be fair, you don't take any chances, do you? Because in a situation like that, it all happens so quickly, I imagine. But anyway, regardless of whether it was on or off target, we're not taking it away. It was a brilliant save. And I've already given Cookie plenty of lovings in the earlier part of this podcast. So,
but that was after a really good block from Omar as well.
It was, yeah. Omar with really a fantastic good. Sliding block to deny, I think it was Daly, James Daly. And just brilliant defensive play, brilliant attacking play, controlled the midfield on the night. I think from minute one, Bromley were far superior to Woking. And like you say, it was a contrast, particularly to the home game here where we hosted Woking earlier on in the season. I think it was November.
Yeah.
The away game in February, a little bit closer. But, you know, Andy, after that one, said that wasn't us. And this time around, we've gone there. And that really was what his teams were all about. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
Anyway, the two goals. So we went 1-0 down. We saw it through to halftime at 1-0. Somehow we could have been 4-1 up, and I don't think that would have been unfair. And then cometh the hour, cometh the man, Michael Cheek from the spot.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't know your view of it, but we were debating whether it was a free kick or a penalty because, of course, we can't see the lines that outline the penalty area from where we were.
Thanks to BT, obviously, they've got a multi-camera. So I think if it was a usual game, we'd still be debating it. But I think looking back on it,
I think it's clear now. Yeah. But just at the time, you know, we weren't sure because the referee kind of pointed and the Bromley fans cheered.
Yeah.
But we weren't sure. We never like to jump the gun.
It was a weird one because I won't give the name away, but a close source said that Andy called that we'd get a penalty in the second half at half time. So it's a little bit like Wembley, you know, when he said
there's going to be one chance.
Yeah. Slide it, cross goal, and then we'll score. And that's what happened. But yeah. A close source who was in the changing room said that he said we'll get a penalty in this second half, and we did.
Wow.
He said, keep causing problems and we'll get one.
Wow, and we did.
Yeah.
And as I said, cometh the hour, cometh the man. 60 minutes on the dot. Michael Cheek steps up, ice cool, as always, sent the keeper the wrong way.
After missing one the other week, he needed that. So.
Kept it low this time, didn't he? And it was one of the best penalties I think he's taken this season.
Yeah.
Really well placed into the bottom corner. And that's his 16th goal of the season. So he sets himself a minimum, I think, of 15 goals to get to. And he's surpassed that now, which is really, really good. And he's hoping he can
remains on
with
fire.
A couple more. He remains on fire. And defences remain terrified. 17 minutes later... And it was a bit of an unexpected source, but Callum Reynolds is there to flick the ball on. Yep. He was brilliant, by the way, Callum Reynolds. And waiting on the edge of the six-yard box is Deji Alleraway, who planted a looping header into the bottom corner. And it was a bit of a weird finish, Josh. You and I and Dan were watching it from the press box, and it just sort of seemed to loop up in the air and suspend itself forever. And we were just kind of waiting for it to drop, weren't we?
Yeah, it took about half an hour to actually hit the net, so...
but I have to say, it was fully deserved, at the very minimum, to be ahead by a goal. The noise from the away fans when those goals went in was something else.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Considering we were sat the opposite side, the noise, I think Jeff came in on Thursday morning and he was like, how? Because obviously he was in the away end and he was like, when you're in it, you don't really appreciate how loud it is. But obviously we were sat the opposite side and it was loud. It was loud. So obviously the players are hearing that, and Andy and the coaches who were sat on our side, they can hear it. So yeah, it was really good.
It was phenomenal. And like you say, the dugout, we're looking towards that. And we'll hear from Andy on his thoughts on it in a minute. But just under 1,000 Bromley fans, supporters making that journey. Not the furthest journey in the world, but still a fantastic turnout. We had a supporters coach there. Plenty of people made their way straight from work.
Still on a Wednesday night. It's still on BT, obviously. Brilliant. In Broomfield. You can watch it. So still a really good turnout. And buzzing for Deji again. Getting the goal. He's a top guy. And I think it was funny watching him being interviewed after by BT. Because obviously he came in here and he was like, hate doing interviews. I never do them. Hate doing them. And he was quite nervous, wasn't he, when we were sat with him. So to see him on, you know, national TV.
Kind of makes you a little bit proud, doesn't it?
Yeah, I did feel that way. I was like,
he's flown the Ravens weekly nest.
And he was very confident. The emotion was still there. That's what I like about BT's coverage of the National League. I think as soon as it's full time, they just pounce on one of the standout players and you get that raw emotion from him, and that came out with Deji. So yeah, really good.
Well, it really did. And I don't want to upset anyone here, but we had a number of familiar faces in the crowd and I'm trying not to miss any of them out. Joe Partington, Frankie Sutherland, Ali Alhamadi, Archie Burnett was there. Ellery Balcombe.
Tom Smith.
Ethan Coleman.
Yeah.
Am I missing anyone?
Sam Long
was there. Yeah, I said Joe Partington, didn't I? Really? Yeah, so plenty of familiar faces in the away end. How good is that to see?
Yeah, I mean, it probably sums up the connection that players build when they're here, because you don't really, you don't really get that at most clubs. They usually go and then, you know, just get on with their lives. And I think it's sort of what I was thinking of, like, players like Archie Burnett and Sam Long and stuff. Obviously, supporters and that see that they're not playing, they're not whatever, then they go off and it's just like, they'll go on with their lives, probably won't care about Bromley or whatever. But behind the scenes, they do enjoy being here and they do enjoy, you know, working with the other players and the coaching staff. And it is always a good environment. And I think it probably shows with like Jack Holland and Luke Coulson coming back as well. It's like it never ends on a bad note, does it?
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. Ben Allen was the other one who was
Ben
there.
Ben Allen.
No, but in all seriousness, Josh, you're absolutely right. And this club leaves a lasting impression on people. Like you say, whether you play one game or 100 games, I think this club is special. And I think a lot of players get that.
I mean, being a fan myself, it's like you can't blame supporters or whatever. They'll see it go out. Joe Partington isn't staying next season. He's going to another National League club, or he must have hated it, whatever, not got on with whoever. But it's just, that's not what happens. And it proves it. Wednesday, need the support. It doesn't clash with anyone else's games. And I think that's what stops them going to support their mates and their old team, is the fact that Ali's playing for Wimbledon, Ellery's at Bristol Rovers, and it always is a Saturday, Tuesday, and you never get the opportunity to go and do it. So,
fair play. It was
good to see them all.
Fair play. It was lovely. And well done to all of them for coming out and showing their support. It was lovely to see. And Webster went over and met a few of them at the end, didn't he? Which was great.
Ali and Ellery, I think they're his coffee buddies, aren't they?
They are indeed. They are indeed. Starbucks friends. Or is it Costa? I don't know.
Oh, Starbucks friend.
Or both. Another legend.
And there's other coffee shops available if we get done for this.
There are other coffee shops available, definitely. Another one, Mr. George Wakeling, a true legend of this football club, former manager and current club ambassador, was in the director's box with his wife, Janice, and just to see the emotion on George's face at the end, he came over to say hello, and he was just absolutely over the moon. And since he was managing the club, you know, he must have seen it come so far, and I know for a fact that he's so proud of everything that's been achieved here, and he's really pleased to be a part of it. On the home match days, we see him taking round Bromley legends and legends of the opposition club as well, and general guests, and just showing them around. It's wonderful that George is involved at this level, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And he was joined by Mark at Blue Security as well. And, you know, it's things like that that makes the club special. And like you said about George, I know that after our games, I come in here, you know, finish off a bit of work, and I always hear him showing people around, and he always comes in, and yeah, no, it's really good.
Well, someone else who's really good and knows just exactly what we need is Mr. Andy Woodman. And
is it Omar at the back and Cheeky in the tap?
It is Omar at the back and Cheeky in
the tap. Well, then he does know exactly what we need.
He does. And here is the gaffer himself previewing the trip to Chesterfield this weekend. And as far as weeks go, it's not a bad one for us to sit here and talk about now. Record points tally in the National League achieved on Saturday, and of course then winning on Tuesday. Let's start with Saturday. We spoke about it just before the playoff game, actually, but a few players who hadn't played for a few games came in and did actually quite well, didn't they, in the end?
Yeah, I thought the lads that come in really sort of kept the momentum going in the team. And actually, you know, got some good minutes in and just kept us reminding that, you know, we've got a good squad and they're ready to step in if needed. And that's to say that they're not going to step in. So, yeah, it was a good game for us. And like I said, it was one that I was chuffed that we didn't have to go there and rely on results and get a result. It was quite nice to have a slightly more relaxed day away at Oldham.
Certainly wasn't relaxed on Tuesday away to Woking. It was a big game. It was a team that have beaten us in the league and actually not long ago. It was a big challenge. They finished fourth, but we went there with confidence and you must be really pleased with the performance on the night.
Yeah, I mean, I think the performance was very good. It's exactly how we worked on it. The players executed the plan really well, stuck to the plan. We had a little bit of adversity in the game where we conceded a goal, which was a little bit of an error by us. That said, you know, they done well to finish when it comes to the edge of the box. But the actual way we started the game, I was really chuffed about. And then when the goal went in, we didn't sort of lose any sort of hope or faith. These boys just keep going, you know, and that pleased me immensely. And obviously the result was a brilliant result, let's be honest. To go away to Woking, packed crowd, and get a result that on a team that's finished, I think, 11 points further up the table than us, beat us twice in the league. I felt it was a good time to turn that result around. And I must say, in regards to Woking, the manager and the staff, they was really so respectful after the club, you know, the supporters. And that was really nice because it's not easy losing any game. So I must say that, you know, as a football club, I thought Woking were very classy and how they took the defeat and then how they've acted since. And that won't be forgotten, certainly from me.
That's really, really nice to hear. Looking at the team that night, lots of young players, the likes of Kellen, Jude, Ryan Sturck, Deji, Bez Topolodge. They didn't play like young players. They rose to the occasion and they looked like really experienced heads out there from front to back. It was just pretty much faultless.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They are young players on paper, but I don't look at them as young players and I don't treat them as young players. And I think that's very important. You know, they are. There's no, you can't get away from that, their age. But we don't treat them like young players. You know, we give them responsibilities and we give them, you know, tasks and we give them instructions and we work on it. And one thing I've learnt from my time being at Newcastle and particularly Arsenal is young players thrive on information and they want to really sort of complete the task. If they're good pros, they really do. And these boys have really stepped up and done really well. I don't think we should not mention that there's some experienced heads around them as well. There has been with the captain, Byron, when he played, and now Callum Reynolds, and you could even say slightly Omar, because he's still, you know, not one of the oldest. So, you know, we've got all these good professionals around them as well, which helps. So we've got a nice mix and I'm proud as punch for them because I want them to put themselves on the stage and show everybody that they're good players.
1-0 down, obviously, inside the opening 10-15 minutes, but it was Bromley who were on top the whole time. It took us till the hour mark to get the goal back and then 17 minutes later we took the lead. Was it always your belief that was what was going to happen? You didn't seem to want to change too much during the game and stuck to your guns and ultimately it paid off.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes you can have a knee-jerk reaction when you go a goal down and think you've got to change something. It was quite evident that we didn't have to change anything. You know, we just switched off at that throw-in. And prior to that, you know, and I mean this with the utmost respect to Woking, we could have been three goals in front. So we was creating chances and we looked like an attacking threat every time we went forward. So for me, it was just really a case of not conceding again. You know, you had those, whenever you concede a goal, you have a little 5-10 minute spell where it's a little bit frantic. And I wanted to make sure we settled down, we took a couple of deep breaths, sucked it up, and we didn't realise, you know, we didn't think we had to score straight away. You know, we relaxed. And we got through to half-time. The conversation at half-time with the lads was pretty straight and pretty frank and pretty, you know, basic. You know, I'm not going to kid you. I just really asked the players, you know, do you believe you're better than them? Because I believe you are. And their answer was, you know, 100%. And I knew, you know, if we got the next goal, then we'd win it. I was pretty confident we'd do that. And we executed the plan. You know, we didn't take our foot off the pedal. And then I thought we'd done really well. When we went 2-1 up, I thought we managed the game well. And I don't mean by the dark arts of going over, getting fouls, etc. I mean that we kept the ball, we didn't put it at risk, and we didn't take chances. And when it was to clear our lines, we cleared our lines and we regrouped. So I was really happy with the maturity we showed in that department of our game as well.
I was just going to say that, actually, post-match, you and I have had many interviews where you've said we've done it the hard way and we're clinging on at the last minute. It really wasn't that way, was it, on Tuesday? We just absorbed everything and just carried on doing what we were doing prior to those points in the game.
Yeah, I think it's something we've worked on as a group. You know, earlier on in the season, we went for a little spell of the last bits of matches not finishing off properly or just switching off. So we've really consciously worked with that. You know, that hasn't just something we've just sort of thrown together. We've really made sure that becomes part of our game. And the lads have took it on board and then they're maturing. You know, look, these young players we talk about, some of these boys, it's their first ever full season. So we shouldn't overlook that. And also, you know, we should make sure that it's my job and my coach's job to sort of arm them with all these, you know, all this experience we've got of how to see out games and how to make sure, you know, you don't put yourself at risk of conceding at the end. And I thought they carried that out really well the other night.
Cometh the hour, cometh the man. Michael Cheek with the penalty, nerves of steel, his 16th goal of the season. And it's just brilliant to have a play like that to step up at those moments.
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple of chances earlier on in the game, and what I love about Cheeky is he doesn't get fazed by it. You know, if he misses a couple of chances, it doesn't sort of become a burden to him, and that's really important as a striker because, you know, you do miss chances. That's the nature of the position. And then he got the penalty, and, you know, I have to say he put it away fantastically well. He was big for us the other night, Cheeky. I mean, he probably, you know, I don't know how, if people recognise the work he does up there on his own sometimes, you know, against two big centre-halves. And I thought he was excellent on the night, really did, like all the players were.
And the second goal, someone that's been a revelation since he came in, and a bit of a weird one seeing him up in that position, but it worked out really well. And actually, is when you watch it back, it's a good finish from Deji.
Really good. I mean, look, we've all loved having Deji at the football club. I think he's brought a real nice energy to the place. I think we're first to say, you're right there, Josh. Break your phone, mate.
Crack screen.
Desi's brought a real nice bit of smiliness and just a lot of professionalism, by the way. But he's a good character. He's from a nice family, and I was made up for him to score because he's such an honest, you know, fresh, raw young man out in his football journey. So, and he's really brought into what we're doing here. He loves it here. You know, it's 2 minutes from his house. Most days I have to pick him up. That's the deal. But if he keeps scoring like that, I'll pick him up every day.
Oh, it's brilliant. And something else that was brilliant was the support on the night. Just under 1,000 away to your far side on the dugout. You had a really good view of them and they made some great noise, particularly in the second half.
Oh, they were great, wasn't they? I mean, when we went 1-0 down, I had a little moment where I looked at them, funny enough, and I was just thinking to myself, please let us score just for them. And I know that sounds a bit of a weird thing to say, because I actually wanted to see the joy on their faces and give them the lift that they would then give us. And I remember looking up at the sky thinking, please let us score for them. And then when we got the goal, you know, it was brilliant scenes, wasn't it? And then obviously we got the winner, and after was great. And like I said, look, we haven't won anything yet. I know everyone's happy and everyone's made up, and it's, you know, furthest we've ever been and all of that, which is great. And I hope I'm not coming across as a miserable old man, but I'm not content with that. You know, we haven't come this far to only come this far. And that's a really important message to my players. You know, it's great and lovely. We've drawn a line under that game today. We dealt with that this morning, went through the debrief of that match. And all focus now is on the match ahead. So that was lovely. We took the plaudits, we took the pats on the back. That's gone now. That's in the history books. We've now got to go to the next one.
And it's a side, Chesterfield, who we've played twice this season, of course, home and away, and the home match being actually not even 2 weeks ago. It's a big game. It's going to be a big crowd and a big occasion for everybody to rise to.
Yeah, it's going to be a festival of football, I call it. I've said to my players all along, you know, there's no pressure on us. You know, we're against a juggernaut of a football club that's, with respect, you know, I'm not sort of just using this as a sort of like a palm off, but their finances compared to our finances, their squad compared to our squad, they've been a league club. They've got a beautiful stadium. They've got a manager that's worked at the highest level, managed. They've got everything, you know, that we should be able to compete with. So I'm looking forward to going there. You know, we've had some good games against them. They're a nice club, well supported, and it'd be a good test for us. And I say, you know, if you want to get promoted, you've got to beat everybody. And we've got to go there, and we've got to make sure we're resolute, and we stick to our plan. We know what they are. They're a very good team, very, very good team. We beat them here the other week, but that means nothing. And we've got to stick to our plan and do what we do best and have a lot of belief in what we're about. And let's see where it takes us. You know, there's zero pressure on us.
Supporters, coaches sold out, train tickets flying off the shelf. There's a great number of fans going up, and of course some yet to make their mind up, but it's going to be a brilliant following of Bromley fans. What's your message to all of those people?
Well, first and foremost, you know, thank you and please be safe. You know, we want them all to get there safely and enjoy the day. And listen, just come and get behind these boys, you know, like you have done. You know, they've really got behind us. And look, we want them all to come. You know, bring a mate, take a mate, bring some friends, because this club's growing. You know, we are a growing club, and I think we've won a few hearts and minds this year, this season, and probably last few seasons I've been here. You know, I've seen it grow myself, and I want to keep that. That's the momentum I want to keep here. Of course, I want to get us into the league. Of course, I want to win Sunday. Of course, I want to then get to the final. Of course, we want all of that. But I'm really enjoying the momentum this football club's having. You know, it's on the right path. We've got people, you know, numbers joining us, and I want to make sure we keep that momentum going as a football club, because it's very important for us going forward. And if we can keep doing the performances on the pitch, then as Kevin Costner said in that famous film, if you build it, they will come, and hopefully they'll keep coming.
Very true, Andy. Thank you so much for your time again today. Best luck for the game, and we'll catch up with you after.
Thank you.
It never stops being a pleasure catching up with Andy Woodman, and more fantastic words there from the gaffer. Make sure you're there on Sunday at the Technique Stadium as Bromley take on Chesterfield in the semi-finals of the Vanarama National League playoffs. Do not miss it. Kickoff is at 3:30. Supporters coaches are now sold out. You can still get tickets for the game, though, and you can still make your way up there. And of course, the match is live on BT Sport. Once again, kickoff 3:30. For those who can't make it to the game to back the team, Broomfield's Bar and Kitchen will be showing the match, so you can come on down and enjoy it with your fellow Ravens, if you like. We're not stopping there, Josh. We've got another brilliant interview to bring you.
We have, and it's by one of our younger players who I think everyone would agree has been a standout player for us. And, well, he's actually our supporters' player of the season, isn't he? So.
And it's his birthday. Happy birthday.
I know, that was really poor planning from me, because we interviewed him today and, you know, all the lads were sort of, you know, finished training, finished the gym, wanted to go home. And I arranged it with Kellen on Thursday and he was still happy to do it. But I was like, sorry that you've had to spend your birthday listening to Matt.
Listening to me and looking over at you. Sorry, Josh. No, I don't mean good. That. But anyway, here he is, Mr. Kellen Fisher. Enjoy. Kellen, welcome to Ravens Weekly. Thanks so much for joining us today. We've said it every time that we've spoken to you. It's been kind of a whirlwind of a season for you. How would you describe it personally?
It's been an exciting one for me, really. Being my first season in men's football, I've really enjoyed it with the standard of football and just the physicality of the league. And I think everyone here has helped me, the players, the coaches. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
It's brilliant to hear, and it's brilliant to watch you develop over that time as well. So for you, I guess you'd say that the academy and the under-23 setup in terms of your pathway through to the first team was really important.
Yeah, 100%. As I started off with the under-18s and then getting into the under-23s, that progression obviously really helped me with the 23s, because you'd be playing some weeks against men, and then now obviously you're playing with men most weeks, so... Yeah, the progression between the under-18s and the 23s have really helped me.
And it's not only that, it's the actual, the educational side of the academy, not just the footballing side, that's helped you to kind of get into the sense of being in and around the club and the environment and the people around it. That all makes a difference, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. Being in like the classrooms every day with your mates, and you'd be playing with them on a Wednesday and then in the school with Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I've enjoyed it. Every minute of it. So, yeah, it's been really good.
Great to hear. So let's look back at Wednesday then, and it was your first playoff fixture, really, as a professional player. How did you sum up that evening? It was there were plenty of brilliant emotions from the fans and from the players and management.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think the atmosphere was totally different to, like, a normal league game. Obviously, it would be expected to be a sellout, but the actual noise from the home crowd and especially the away crowd was... really good. So, yeah, it's different to a league game because obviously there's a lot more pressure. But, no, I really enjoyed it. It was very good.
And it just seemed that the team from minute one were on top. Obviously really frustrating to concede that goal. But it still looked like the whole team and the management had that belief throughout that not we could win, that we would definitely win that game.
Yeah, we come at the tracks really fast. I think we put the pressure on Woking really early. And I think we remained at the whole half. And I think when they scored, obviously, it was a bit of a gutter. But I think we all believed that we would get back in the game because the amount of chances we created in that first half. And, I think we've done everything right in that first half but score. But, yeah, it was a really good first half. And, obviously, full-time was even better, nicking the win.
What would you put down to your settling into the men's football so quickly? I mean, you had a couple of games at the start of the season and then you kind of had that little break. You came in at Southend away Boxing Day, wasn't it? And you just not looked back. What would you put down to your success in that regard?
I think the coaching staff, they put a lot of trust in me and they give you a lot of info before games. And I feel like, when they put that much trust in you, I think it takes a bit of pressure off you. So I would have to say the coaching staff, and obviously the players help you through it, especially with your first couple of games, they'll help you. Players like the skipper, the first couple of games really helped me during the games, telling me where to be. So I think coaching staff, players, have really helped me during this time.
And I just remember looking back at your time in the 23s and you seem to be playing kind of more as a winger at the start, and you've now come to that kind of wing-back, full-back position. Are you still happy to play in both, happy to play wherever you're asked, or do you have a preference on where you play?
I think at the moment, I prefer playing right wing-back, right back. I've not done that right wing role in quite a while, to be fair. But I could probably still do it, but I do much prefer the right wing-back or the right back role.
And how's it been for you working under Andy? He's clearly a player that gives young players, clearly a manager that gives young players a chance. And we talked about it earlier. It's yourself, it's Jude, it's Ryan, it's Deji, it's Bez in that team. And he really is passionate about giving young players a chance.
Yeah, I said that he puts a lot of trust in youngsters. And when you get so much info before games, telling you what you need to do, it really helps because... It takes a lot less thinking during the game. You just sort of, it's something naturally you do during the game. So I think it does really help you, especially with Danny and Steve telling you what to do. yeah, it's all credit to them, really.
And it's nice, you mentioned Steve there, it's nice that you've kind of had him in your transition from the academy to the 23s to the first team. I guess actually it's quite important to have that figure there that's been a consistent view throughout and probably knows you better than anyone else.
Yeah, with Steve, he's my manager during the 23s, and he was sort of the one that embedded that right back role in me. So yeah, he's really helped me during my 23s and my first team, especially during games, after games, looking at stuff. So yeah, he's really helped me.
You are the complete model professional for players coming through the academy. What would you say, what advice would you give to them to try and follow in your footsteps, in Ben Crowhouse's footsteps, looking back a couple of years, Liam Vincent and so on?
I would just say work hard, get your head down, work hard on the pitch, off the pitch, and hopefully you'll just keep progressing, because in my opinion, if the harder you work, I think the luckier you get. So I think hard work will pay off soon. So I'd say work hard, get your head done.
And you are a local lad. How is it to represent your local team, especially at a time when it's really on the up?
Yeah, really good. It's really exciting times at the moment, especially being in this playoff semi-final. I think we're two games away from League Two, which is massive for the club. But we'll just take it step by step with the game on Sunday at Chesterfield.
A couple of months ago, we had a feature-length interview with you, and for those who haven't seen it, it's really worth a watch. That was when you penned your new deal, committing your future to the club, your immediate future. How easy was that a decision to make for you?
Yeah, really easy. Bromley are a great club. They've got great facilities here. And when the new contract got offered to me, I didn't think twice about signing it. So, yeah.
Well, it is brilliant to have you here. And just finally, looking ahead to probably the biggest game that you've played in, Chesterfield, it's going to be a mega crowd. It's going to be a mega atmosphere. Of course, we played Chesterfield a couple of weeks ago. You've already had a taste of playing in front of those away fans, who will be, yeah, of course, the home fans on Sunday. How much are you looking forward to it, and how are the lads feeling ahead of it?
Yeah, I think all the boys are excited from the Woking win, but I think we've got to put that behind us a bit. And I think Chesterfield are a different breed, really. They play nice football. And they'll probably want to get one back on us from when we beat them at home. But I think we all know it's not going to be the same game as it was at home. I think they could be up for it, of course, at their place. And hopefully we'll get the win on Sunday.
Well, Kellen, it's such a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Cheers.
So, supporters coach sold out, as mentioned. Of course, you can still get your tickets for this game. Note that prices do rise on the day, and obviously you risk them selling out as well. If they sell out, you won't be able to go. So make sure you get your ticket. Unfortunately, the supporters coaches are sold out, and we've got all we can. Big thank you to Anderson Travel for providing us with all the drivers that they can on Sunday. Of course, a reminder, the game will be on in Broomfields as well, as mentioned, for those who can't make the trip.
For those who are booking tickets, though,
go on.
There's a bit of an issue online because Chesterfield have kept the away end as the north stand, which it usually is, I think, and they just haven't taken it off. But away supporters are in blocks E1 and E2, so not in the north stand, even though it says away end. So it's a bit confusing, but it's blocks E1 and E2.
Thank God for Josh.
Thank God for me.
Clarifying things left, right, and centre.
And we're one game away from Wembley again.
We are.
For the second season in a row.
It's incredible, isn't it? And we're going to need your support to get over the line. It's going to be a mega tough game. It's a really tough place to go in a league season, let alone in a playoff situation in knockout football. So get down there, or get up there, I should say, and get behind the team. And show all of your support, because it really does make a difference. Finally, on this podcast today, we need to give some more love to Reece Charles Cook. This is turning into like the Reece Charles Cook fan cast.
It is.
I swear it is. Who is Josh?
Player of the month.
And not for the first time.
For the second time.
Well done to Reece. I think it's fully deserved.
And it's a weird one, because are we doing a player of the month for May?
I think we have to, yeah, don't we? We're going to have at least one game. We've already had, at least two games.
Yeah.
At the very least, hopefully three.
This is the last full month, but Cookie was player of the month for the first full month of the season, August, and now for the last full month of the season,
and
player
he'll
of the month again.
Neil need to be at his best in the next game.
I mean, I'm not going to lie.
The second one.
Not going to lie, there was a massive influx of votes for Ryan Sterk again. Loads. But it was a little bit of a dodgy one, Matt.
4 o'clock in the morning.
It was 4 o'clock in the morning and there was about 20. So whoever is doing that, I'm pretty sure it's not Ryan.
It's not Sturkey, surely.
No, it's probably some Birmingham City fan who's jumped on it. But I was going through him and I was like, oh, here we go. He's going to go for 3 months here. And then I was like, okay, they're all sent at 5 o'clock in the morning. So it's obviously someone there going, Ryan Sturk, Ryan Sturk. And if you're listening,
shame on you,
Mr. Ryan Sturk fan person.
We love Ryan though, don't
we? I had to scroll through a load of emails.
Ryan is a legend.
He is, yeah.
He's such a good guy and a brilliant player.
And well deserved 2-time
player. Absolutely. Almost a hat trick by the sounds of it. The other thing to bring you is, of course, a reminder you can get your club membership still at the early prices. A reminder that if we are to be promoted on the 13th of May, the prices will rise to the standard prices. Or if we do not get promoted, we need the boo thing again there, don't we?
Boo.
There we go. Josh doing a great job filling in for the sound effect. They will rise on the 1st of June at 5 o'clock.
It's £8.50 per game.
Outrageous value for money.
That's mental.
Outrageous.
Especially if we do go up.
And there are instalment plans available for those of you that wish to spread the monthly cost across months. Sorry, I think it's 9 months of payments. Yeah. You can spread the cost across. You can add on a seat or a seat in the John Fiorini stand if you prefer, or a Ravens Lounge pass. There are lots of customizable options for you.
And you also get free entry to the 23s, free entry to Bromley Women.
What more could you want? Seriously.
Discounts at Broomfields.
15%. In Broomfields and the club shop and event hire as well, not to be used in conjunction with any other offers.
Terms and conditions apply.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada.
anyway, I think it's time to end. And the next time we join you here on Ravens Weekly, we will know the outcome of this
£8.50
game away to Chesterfield.
Per game, Matt.
You're going to be saying that in your sleep tonight, aren't you? Well, all of you lot get to get away from this now. I've got to put up with Josh for another couple of hours. So wish me all the best. And thank you, in all seriousness, Josh, for joining me again today. Thank you to all of you for listening.
We need to stop recording this late in the afternoon on a Friday because we just lose our heads.
We go mad, don't we? But it is the best part of the week.
It is, yeah.
Apart from the football.
But we don't have football tomorrow.
No, we don't. It's Sunday. You keep saying Saturday.
I do, yeah. Well, it's because it's usually the case, isn't it?
It is, actually. I've said that a few times, to be fair. But anyway, Sunday is the day.
I'll be at Chesterfield tomorrow at 3.
Oh, God.
I'll be like, where is everyone?
It's going to be a long wait for you.
It is, yeah.
Be there on Sunday if you can be. If not, tune in online. Thank you all so much once again. Up the Bromley. Let's go.
Up the Bromley. We could be going to Wembley.
We could for a second again, in a row.
But to be continued
TBC.
Next week. TBC.
Thanks again, everyone.
Have a good Friday.
See you soon.
Bye. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.